Political ads! What? Oh my goodness gracious. Liberation. Heat advisory through tonight. Sunny, hot today. Look at that first alert forecast coming up here in a moment. Halfway through the week, we do have the Friday Road Show coming up. On Friday from Scramblers, that's Republic Road and National, sponsored by Affordable Towing. Doors open at 6 a.m. Yes, indeedy do. Primary elections, of course, taking place last night. In case you weren't aware of that, I guess it all depends on perspective, doesn't it? The 7th congressional race, which was anticipated to be much tighter than it was, a very decisive victory for Eric Burleson. Also, no question about that U.S. Senate race. Again, not even close. In fact, you almost had the victor there, that being Attorney General Schmidt, getting a majority. The concerns about Greitens not coming to fruition. Now, I'm going to be interested to see if Danforth and the Republican swamp continue to push Wood as the independent choice after Wood declared that all of the Republican nominees or all the Republican candidates to be the nominee were a race to the bottom. They're all just trash. Hillbilly Missouri trash. Wood, of course, the Liz Cheney-picked investigator of the Stalin-esque show trials that have been taking place, and put up as an independent on the ballot in November. What will happen now? Will he just sit back quietly, not really campaign? We'll talk about this coming up. And some of you may not even be, you're like, Wood, what is this? I think I heard something about this guy. We'll go over just a few of the races that have seemed to have the greatest amount of interest here for most of you in terms of feedback. And then, of course, a tremendous amount of other information that's going on, this taking out of the top terrorist of Al-Qaeda, which is really weird because Biden said Al-Qaeda was gone. It was just a little over a year ago. That was part of the reason he justified the disastrous pullout of Afghanistan and handing that country to the Taliban. He's like, what's the point in being there? Al-Qaeda's gone. Guess not. Either they weren't gone or they were, and Joe Biden managed to bring the band back together. It's Joe Biden. No one has benefited to the degree that the evil people in this world have benefited from Joe Biden. I mean, it's just, you got the sex slave industry that has benefited tremendously because of the border policies, the human trafficking, the drug trade. The Chinese have benefited in a number of ways, the drug trade being one of them. All the fentanyl that's coming into this country, that is being developed in labs in China. This is one of the many spokes in the wheel of war that China has been waging against the United States. You know, we have a very difficult time recognizing when our enemies develop new forms of warfare against the United States. We recognize war and attacks on the United States based on how it's been done in the past. This was a lesson we were supposed to learn from 9/11, see? That we were not prepared because that's not the sort of war we were accustomed to. We were accustomed to the traditional forms of war. You know, you have a country launch an attack, and then make an announcement about the attack, and here's why we're doing it, and so we know where that country is, and then we have our plans to retaliate, and it's very traditional. Even the way that this country dealt with military confrontations in the lead up to our independence. We had this traditional way of war where everyone stood in a line and just took turns shooting at each other. And we learned a lot from the Native Americans here in the United States at the time. Well, it wasn't the United States, but on this this chunk of earth, and how they were more stealth-like, and we learned a lot from that. Like, oh, that's an interesting way to do things. You mean like hide in the trees and things and don't stand in a line and go, okay, your turn. That's the way we've always done it. That was the gentlemanly way. That was the statesman way. That was the sophisticated way to kill one another. We cling to these things. The traditional ways of war blinded us to the fact that we had really been under attack by terrorists for quite some time. It was before 9/11. The USS Cole attack. The 1993 World Trade Center attack. Just to name some of the more well-known attacks on the United States by terrorist organization. We treated it, well, in the words of Bill Clinton, like it was crime. It was crime. That's how we dealt with the terrorist attack in 1993, as a criminal matter. When there was an offer to turn bin Laden over to the United States because we knew of his intentions, the Clinton administration turned it down because these countries that, you know, bin Laden was hopscotching around the Middle East. No country wanted him. He was a troublemaker. They knew he was a troublemaker. They didn't want the heat that he would bring because everyone knew he was part of this war against the United States. The Clinton administration turned down the offer to take bin Laden, and the justification was, well, you know, that's just not how things work, you know. I mean, we don't have evidence against him. We wouldn't be able to try him in a court of law. He wouldn't be read his Miranda rights when he would be captured. And it was all from a legal perspective. And while a lot of people, of course, want to criticize Clinton for that, that was the mindset until 9/11 happened. All of a sudden, like, oh, okay, now we get it. It's the same thing we're dealing with China. China is actively engaged in a new form of war against the United States. Whether it is threatening to shoot down, to assassinate the Speaker of the House, the billions of dollars that they infuse our university campuses with, they buy off our university campuses, they actively spy on and threaten students who are here from China that openly talk about freedom and liberty and that are critics of their home country, oftentimes threatening their families or, you know, having their families call their children who are here in the United States and that they'll send them off to the concentration camps. Part of the war and the propaganda effort is buying off people like LeBron James and these networks. You know, oh, you want access to our audience? You know, you want to open your movie here? Well, you're going to have to change this, change that. They use the almighty dollar. Why is it that you think that all of these celebrity athletes keep pitching a fit about the LIV golf tournament in Saudi Arabia because of their human rights violations, but in China where they have concentration camps, political execution, slavery, they keep their mouths shut because of money. That's part of China's war on the United States. Buy off people of influence. We keep hearing about the overdoses, the fentanyl that's pouring into this country, and it's coming from the Mexican drug cartel, which, of course, has been a booming. It's one of the few industries under Biden that has really flourished. They are not the ones creating that fentanyl. It's China. It is the Chinese government, and they are giving it to the Mexican drug cartel or selling it, knowing full well where it's going. We are in total and complete la-la land and total denial about this war that has been waged for some time against the United States. And the reason, there's a couple of reasons that we're in la-la land and denial over this, is one, because, again, they have purchased so much influence, and it's not just Hollywood, it's not just the universities. Of course, there are a lot of elected officials. I mean, can the Biden administration be a more clear example? And there are a number of Republicans as well. Mitch McConnell's in-laws, his wife's family, their livelihood. They are Chinese. They are in China. I think it's a shipping industry or something that they own in China. So they the tentacles of the communist regime, they have this influence everywhere. They have this leverage. So that's one of the reasons that we are in denial about what's going on. But the other is because it's a different form of warfare. And we refuse to look forward. We refuse to be proactive in recognizing the sorts of warfare that other countries are looking to launch or are actively pursuing. Now, Trump was a bit different. Trump recognized it, which was one of the reasons he called out China. And, of course, I left out the whole COVID component to this. But this stuck-in-the-past mindset of what we recognize as an attack on the United States is leaving us so completely vulnerable and welcoming to the continued damage that's being done to the United States by the communist Chinese. All right, we'll get to some of these election results coming up. Jason Reimer with the latest news update.
Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt has defeated former Governor Eric Greitens and 19 others in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate. He faces Trudy Bush Valentine, a nurse and philanthropist who defeated Marine veteran Lucas Kuntz and 9 others in the Democratic primary. Meantime, Eric Burleson wins the Republican nomination for the District 7 U.S. House seat and will face Christian Radiker Schaefer in November. Republican Mark Alford won the District 4 U.S. House seat and faces Democrat Jack Truman. Republican Jason Smith faces Democrat Randy McCallion. Scott Fitzpatrick won the Republican race for state auditor. Incumbent Republican Lincoln Huff wins his Republican primary race for the state Senate. And Republican Curtis Trent defeated Brian Gellner. The race between Darren Chappell and Thomas Barr is still too close to call. Chappell leads with 50% of the vote and one precinct left to count. Voters in Republic said yes to questions 1 and 2 dealing with money for parks, a bond issue for Ash Grove Fire Pass, as well as a bond issue for Clever's water and wastewater system. A 911 tax failed in Hickory County. I'm Jason Rima, Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements Heat Advisory through tonight. Sunny, hot, slight chance of afternoon showers and storms, high of 98. Heat index of 105. Shower storms likely tonight with a low of 73, and showers and storms likely tomorrow with a high of 92. Heat index 90.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Streaming live, KSGF.com also. Our Facebook live feed, 104.1 Nick Reed. Hey. So let's look quickly at some of the outcomes here. Much more decisive than was, I believe, anticipated by many, including me. So first, U.S. Senate, and this was one more than probably any race I know I received feedback regarding. We just don't know what to do, for whom to vote, and so forth. And with the political ads, they just... What is their place? And I've really thought about this. Even signs and, I mean, name recognition, of course. Now, here's the thing. You all are different than most people. I guess this is part of it. You all actually want to make an educated decision. Not everyone is that way. There are people who go in to vote and they don't have any idea about anybody or anything at all. But we have conditioned our society to believe that you should just vote, that voting in and of itself is the most important thing. being informed about the vote is secondary or irrelevant. Remember the ad campaigns, just vote, just vote. Like, what? To me, that was like, just do brain surgery. Oh, you've never gone to medical school. You don't know the first thing about performing brain surgery. Oh, but just do it. Just do it. That's what's really important. No. And I've caught a lot of flack about this over there. I don't think this idea that, oh, the more people voting in and of itself is better. And the more people who are informed and informed enough about what's going on that are compelled to vote, that can be a good thing. But this idea that you increase the number of people who have no idea what they're doing, making decisions about the direction of the country, to me, that is madness. But there are a lot of people who feel that that's just the way things should be, because it's your duty. It's also your duty if you get called for jury duty, but you are still required to listen to the case, to know information about, you know, when it comes to the end, you're presented with information. There is an expectation there that by the end you have listened, you have paid attention, and that you understand all the evidence that's been put before you. You don't get to just show up on closing arguments day, not even listen to those, and cast your vote, guilty or not guilty, without having paid attention. But again, there's culturally, we encourage people to vote, even if they have no idea what's going on. You all are different. It's why so many of you are frustrated, because you hear all these ads, and it isn't so much about name recognition for most of us. It's not about who has the cleverest ad. There's this frustration because you hear the ads and like, well, I'm the most conservative, and we recognize things are taken out of context. And so the constant ads running don't necessarily give you the sort of information that you're seeking. And so but you have to run them, because if you don't run ads, then you know, people don't even know that you're there. They haven't heard anything about you. So where it is that these campaign ads and signs and billboards play a role in today's society, I don't really know. I don't want anyone to misunderstand as I'm thinking aloud here. I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen, or it's just, I don't know what impact it really has. Is it positive? Is it negative? I guess it is necessary, because you need to hear from these people, or at least know how to reach out to them. All right, so here's some of the numbers. U.S. Senate race, which everyone was seeing as some sort of nail biter, though Schmidt in the last couple of weeks, clearly, according to polling, was showing that he had a significant lead, and in terms of results, it was even greater than that. Almost 50% of the vote. 45.66% of the vote. This is according to the Secretary of State site, with all counties reporting. Second place was Hartzler, less than half of that at 22%. Eric Greitens down to 18.9%. That is, I'm sure, a very, very, very disappointing showing, obviously, for the Greitens folks. But given that for the majority of the election race season, the primary season, up until probably about 4 to 6 weeks ago, Greitens polled ahead. And to come in third place at 19%, behind a 45.5%, 46% win for Schmidt, that's just not obviously where they wanted to be. It also is in defiance of what the Greitens people, along with Breitbart, I think Breitbart has lost some credibility with their overt enthusiasm for Greitens. Whether it's genuine or not, I don't know. But it's clear, if you follow Breitbart as I do, they really did not like Schmidt. They really like Greitens. I mean, you could tell it in what's supposed to be straight reporting. And they were reporting all these, you know, historic number of people that were polling, you know, from the Greitens campaign, that he was way ahead. And, you know, this even in the last couple of weeks. And it just didn't seem to jive. And given that he got only 18.9% of the vote, I think demonstrates that, those numbers that were being put out by the Greitens campaign were nowhere near reality. Long, 4.97%. McCloskey, 2.98%. Decisive victory for Burleson as well. This was not as close as many people, including myself, believed it would be. Easily double-digit win over the establishment candidate, which I think is very positive news for the 7th Congressional District. So that and a couple of other of the state rep, state senate races as well in moments. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
All right, we're going to take a step into traffic here, and then less than like a minute and a half. Jeez, now that election season out of the way, these breaks are so much shorter. Also, a look at the weather. Heat advisory, though, a great chance we're going to see some showers and storms very soon. I'm Nick Reed. Traffic update now.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Floors Plus in Nixa, Floors Plus in Springfield. Two locations, same great folks, same decades of experience, same five-star reviews across the board, quality products, informative. They don't upsell you. They marked off, for me, all the check marks. There are a number of things that are very important to me. Everyone's different. I'm just telling you my experience. The quality of the product, the knowledge. I didn't even, when it came to carpet, we did some luxury vinyl planking, then we did some carpeting as well. Totally replaced everything in our home recently. And carpeting, I just didn't realize the technological advances, which sounds like an odd thing when you're talking about carpeting. But when it comes to spills, when it comes to odors, when it comes to wear and tear, and that all goes into your decision-making process. You don't always need the most expensive thing. In fact, true story, the carpeting that we first picked out, and once we let them know, they contacted us back, and based on our usage, we told them, you know, because they asked, well, what sort of foot traffic are these rooms you're in and out of a lot? Called it and said, you really honestly don't need that expensive of carpet. What you're looking for is and it ended up being a couple dollars less per square foot, which, you know, saves you a tremendous amount of money, thousands of dollars. They could have easily, I mean, we were going to go that route, but we were advised you really don't need to, given your usage. That's what you get with Floors Plus. Honesty, reliability, and still right now, 12 months, 0% financing. Lock that in, I would if I were you. All their contact info under Nick's endorsements, KSGF.com. First Alert forecast sponsored by Navant Employee Benefits That Work. Heat advisory through tonight. High of 98 today. Afternoon showers and storms slightly possible. Heat index today of 105. Shower storms likely tonight, 73. And showers and storms likely tomorrow with a high of 92. Heat index of 98. All right, so Schmidt definitely, decisively won the Republican nomination, 45.66%. Hartzler behind at 22%, then Greitens at third at 18.9%, Long 4.97%, and McCloskey 2.98%. 7th Congressional, this was a big one because this was establishment versus non-establishment. The establishment had one candidate, while the non-establishment grassroots folks, there were a number of candidates that were going to have to share that pool of voters, and three of them had a significant amount of name recognition, two because they have been known and demonstrated themselves as conservative lawmakers, members of the conservative caucus, which made for a very difficult decision for a lot of grassroots voters. Then you had Alex Bryant, who has not held elected office, but had a pretty good presence out there and seemed to be making definitely significant ground for a first-time candidate. That being said, Burleson would come out the victor decisively, again, 38%, second place, the establishment candidate, Jay Wasson, 22.5%. Then you had Alex Bryant, 17.9%, which definitely, again, that is an impressive showing for someone who has, up until this election, had no name recognition in the context of politics, did not have any sort of presence. That is a significant showing. And what I had mentioned yesterday or the day before, for those who felt Alex Bryant is a, you know, a real, true, genuine, conservative individual, what I hate to see is people who, if he is that, I don't know, I'm just not sure, but based off what people say, here's what I hate to see. I hate to see people that they don't want to start on what they think is a smaller level because they have this complete misconception that somehow the, quote, smaller races, the state rep, the state senate, that doesn't matter. That matters more than anything. I mean, that is so important. And I don't like to see people who fancy themselves to be constitutional and conservative, or maybe they want to be, they instinctually know, but, you know, and they dismiss that. They run for a more prestigious office and they don't win, and so they're like, oh, well, that's it for me. We've got to reset our understanding and mindset about where it is that the power lies. And the more local is what is so important. I, as evidence, point to school board races across this country. Look what's going on in our schools right now. The only thing that changes that are local school board elections. Having people, and we've seen that shift happening in Springfield, which is very, very positive news. And I mean, can you get much more local than that? I mean, you talk about the horrific direction that this country is being steered, and it's by people in school boards across this country. The protections we need against the tyrannical rule of the Democrat Party on a national level, wanting to steal away the constitutional authority of states to even decide how to run their own elections. We have to have people in there that will fight. Not these mushy people that, you know, particularly with Republicans. I mean, Democrats, they're fine with turning all that authority over to the federal government, as long as they're in power, of course. But you get these mushy Republicans, like, and we're going to get to the Senate 30th here, Lincoln Huff, who's been a supporter of the national vote, for God's sakes. I mean, that's Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez land there. So we have to get people like that gone, and we have to get people that, you know, if that is the sort of person that Alex Bryant is, and many of the people who support him believe that he is the case, encourage him to look at running for one of those seats. Now, I don't know what district he's in. I don't know where he lives. So, you know, there may be someone that represents the district he's in on either the Senate or the state rep legislative level that are already very constitutional. I don't know the answer to that question, but I just don't dismiss that. I mean, it should be the last thing you do. Mike Moon, 8.7%. And the upside of Mike Moon not coming out the victor is that he is so, Missourians so desperately need people like him in the Missouri State Senate. We need more people like him. 20th. Senate, Trent, Curtis Trent, 58.4%. Gellner, 41.6%. The one that was most disappointing for the grassroots conservative voters was the state Senate 30th, where Lincoln Huff would win 56.6% to Angela Romine, 43.4%. And I obviously the disappointment there, because he is a tremendous obstacle to smaller government, lower taxes. That, of course, is not how he presents himself when he needs the vote of Republican voters, but that's how he legislates. That's why he does well with the Republican establishment. But I want you to think about something for a moment. Generally, incumbents, particularly that have the establishment behind them and the Jack Danforth type of money behind them that Lincoln Huff had, the swamp, the idea of Lincoln Huff losing to a newcomer would have been a devastating blow to the establishment through the entire state of Missouri. He had those unlimited resources. He had the news leader on his side. He had, you know, swamp entities like the chamber behind him. I mean, the machine, all of that behind him. Combined with the fact that, this is reality, a huge segment of the voting population don't do what you do and research and learn what's going on. And so they just go off name recognition. Oh, I know his name. Oh, I'm a Republican, and the Republican Party says that's the person I'm so supposed to support, so that's what they do. That's all they know. And Angela Romine, who, I mean, just a small business owner, who has no, this is not a career path for her, was called to do it, nowhere near the swamp money. I mean, true David and Goliath. The fact that one, an incumbent Republican, only got 56% of people to support him, but given the overwhelming advantages he had compared to Angela Romine, that is a very, very strong message. Understand that. That you had essentially, you know, if you round it 56.6, you got, you know, 57 to 43. It's about 56.5 to 43.5. And you look at that and you go, ah, double digits. But I'm telling you, you cannot understate the significance of one, an incumbent, only getting 56.6% of the vote in a primary, but given, again, the privilege and the benefit that he has versus the mountains that Angela Romine and all of her grassroots supporters had to climb, that is a tremendous victory. And say one final thing. People should be extremely grateful for people like Angela Romine, because there are a lot of people who don't even bother to get out to vote. And like I said, I'm fine with that. If they don't know what's going on, good. But there are a lot of people who get mad, they get frustrated. They're angry because of the direction that things go. They're angry because there's some, you know, somebody that runs as a Republican and then they raise taxes and, you know, they're mad at the Lincoln Huffs. But they won't even go out and knock on doors for a candidate because it makes them uncomfortable. They're busy. And I'm not criticizing people who take that position. But my point is, can you imagine? Most of you probably, you're like, yeah, I'll donate money, but I don't want to go door to door. You know, I have to deal with that sort of stuff. And you imagine being somebody like Angela Romine, just a small business owner. I don't want to say just a small business owner, but in the context of politics, you're a citizen just like you are. And your heart is called and people are asking you, please help us. And then to take that on, to go from a citizen who has concerns to someone that the media, you know, targets and demonizes and, of course, casts in a negative light because she doesn't just go along with what the establishment says. All of the time, all of the criticisms, all of those things and you know, I think that for somebody who isn't doing this for the self-serving purpose, and she's not the only, I mean, there are obviously others that do this. And my point is that we should be grateful for those individuals, because if it weren't for them, we'd have no chance at all. Finally, the 137th, this is Darren Chappell, Thomas Barr, very, very close. Secretary of State's site shows everything being reported. Darren Chappell at 50.831% and Barr at 49.1%. 0.169%. So that is where that sits at this point. Those, I wanted to go over some of these that were the most prevalent, that people seem to have the most interest in, for obvious reasons, a lot of them. But if you do have any questions or thoughts that you want to send in, the American Transmissions talk and text line 447-KSGF, please feel free to do so. I welcome it.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
A1 Custom Car Care, all of your car care needs, big or small. If you do find yourself in financial straits, this is something a lot of people don't know about. They do have financing options available. This was something they worked out years ago because they would every so often come across a situation that, you know, somebody just had to get their vehicle fixed in order to get to work, but couldn't get, you know, they couldn't get to work because their vehicle wasn't fixed, which meant they didn't have the money to pay for it, and it was a cycle. And because maybe they didn't have the best credit, their options were exceedingly limited, and they would go a route that financially was just, generally speaking, not advantageous at all. And they hated to see people put in that position. So they worked in order to find a way to offer financing for people who need work done on their vehicle and have no other option. You don't have to have the greatest credit in the world. Is that going to be the best option for you? I don't know the answer to that. They're not going to know the answer to that. But what they do know is it's an option that you can have available to you should you be in that position. A1 Custom Car Care. Find them under Nick's endorsements. KSGF.com. A couple of the messages coming in on the American Transmissions talk and text line noting that, let's see, Mike Moon for governor. Another Bryant, that being Alex Bryant, could definitely impact a mayoral race, perhaps. And another asking, why is it not mentioned that Alex Bryant got 17% as a black candidate in a very white district? That destroys the left's narrative, but media concern that a pastor has no track record as a conservative in service. Maybe more media spending changes opinion. From a media perspective, who knows? The media. I think from a conservative perspective, the reason that race wasn't touted. So, and there were campaign ads that referenced the fact that I believe that he's a black pastor and so forth. But when it comes to the average voter, when it came to, I could tell you this, every single bit of feedback that I would see, hear, or receive regarding people that liked Alex Bryant, never once did they talk about skin color. And by the way, that's a great thing. It's one of the differences between, if I'm going to stereotype here, conservatives versus people on the left. People on the left, the cover of a book is what matters, not what's written on the pages within. And that's why you hear, oh, the first black this, the first gay that, the first, because that's what matters to them. And I think it is admirable. And I think it is an indicator that people who vote conservative tend to see people more as people and care about issues. And the superficial things are unimportant. And the fact that you could have an individual who came along that had no prior political experience and was up against two, you know, Eric Burleson, because of his own efforts, starting out as a state legislator and then becoming a state senator. And I mean, this is a guy that was not handpicked. This is a guy that, I mean, he did it in his own right. He really genuinely is one of those people. As a citizen, he worked very, very hard. I mean, he earned it. He earned it. And he earned the name recognition. And Mike Moon had some too, obviously. And he's been a great, he's another true blue, genuine guy. Wasson, of course, had the establishment behind him. For somebody like Alex Bryant to come along, and never having competed, did not have name recognition in the context of politics, and get 18% of the vote in that race, you know, that's a very significant thing. And the fact that here's an individual, and never once, this is anecdotal, everyone may have a different experience, never once did I hear anyone who was promoting Alex Bryant as the person that folks should vote for mention his skin color. And that's the way it should be. That is absolutely the way that it should be. And that is extremely insightful, I think, into the much more evolved and enlightened approach that the more conservative voter takes versus those who are on the left. Traffic update, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
There have been questions regarding the closeness of the Thomas Barr, Darren Chappell race. This being the 137th, Darren Chappell 50.831%, Barr at 49.169%. Anytime the numbers are that close, people start inquiring about recounts. And different states deal with it in a different way. Some, you know, there's obviously a threshold. If it's less than this amount, this happens. If it's less than that amount, that happens. And oftentimes there is a trigger that is an automatic recount. And I found a story with a quote from Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. And this is a story that was posted yesterday, Fox 2 Now. The story is a low turnout for primaries as expected, says Missouri Secretary of State. And in part of the story, it reads, quote, we're not to the quote yet, but the story reads, there are no automatic recounts in Missouri. The candidates have to request it after votes are verified, but only if there is a 0.5% or less difference in votes. And that is not apparently at this point the case for the 137.